Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries and death notices for Tuesday, December 1st. Billie Jean Green Lanier. Billie Jean Green Lanier, 85, of Midland, passed away November 24th. A small celebration of her life will be held during the Christmas holiday season. Billie was born in Greenville to J.W. Bill and Beatrice Green, October 5, 1935. She married Jack Landon Lanier in 1954. She is preceded in death by her parents, Bill and Beatrice Green, her husband Jack Lanier, and a granddaughter. She is survived by daughters Lori Lanier of Santa Fe, New Mexico, Jean Lanier Benson of Arlington, and son and daughter-in-law Bill and Jana Lanier of Midland, as well as three grandchildren and one great-grandchild. Memorials may be given to the Alzheimer's Association. Services are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Gloria Robertson. Gloria Robertson, 73, of Midland, passed away Sunday, November 22nd. A visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, December 4th at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Services will be at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, December 5th at the Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral services will be live streamed and may be accessed at www.npwelch.com. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. A barbecue reception will be held at the branch at Nellie Picklin Welch after interment. You may leave memories and condolences at www.npwelch.com. Gloria was born March 8, 1947 in San Antonio to her mother Valera Fuchs Bippen and stepfather Robert Bippen. Gloria is survived by her daughter Cindy Young and husband Neil of Kingwood, son Brad Robertson of Midland, son Mike Robertson and wife Kelly of Alpharetta, Georgia, sister Terry Tucker and husband Gary of Greenwood, brother Stan Bippen and wife Jody of Parrish, Florida, four grandchildren, and seven nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her mother, her stepfather, and her husband James Robertson. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Mildred Irene Talley. Mildred Irene Talley, 96, of Midland, passed away Saturday, November 28th. Services will be held Wednesday, December 2nd at 2 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will occur December 4th at 10 a.m. at the Lexington Cemetery in Lexington, Oklahoma. Mildred Talley was born October 3, 1924, in Lexington, Oklahoma, to Mr. and Mrs. T.J. Watkins. She married Joe M. Talley in 1942. She is survived by her husband of 78 and a half years, Joe M. Talley of Midland, daughter Bonnie, husband of Midland, and son Dan Talley of Hobbs, New Mexico. She is also survived by three grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. She's preceded in death by her parents, TJ and Mamie Watkins, daughter Judith Lynn Talley, and her siblings Herman Watkins, Lloyd Watkins, Oris Watkins, Oral Watkins, Lucian Watkins, Gwen Klein, and Pauline Logan. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorial donations be made to Hospice of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Pedro Ortega Padron. Pedro Ortega Padron, 73, of Midland, passed away November 24th. He was born February 13th, 1947, in Santa Fe del Pino, Coahuila, Mexico, to Jose Luis Padron and Antonio Ortega. Surviving him are his wife, Edoviges Soto, his father, Jose Luis Padron Rodela, daughters, Delilah, and husband Orville Alcantar, and Anna and husband Martin Hernandez, sisters Juana Hermila Padron Ortega, Maria de Los Angeles Padron Ortega, Maria de Jesus Padron Ortega, Maria de la Luz Padron Ortega, Rosa Elia Padron Ortega, brothers Salvador Padron Ortega, Jose Luis Padron Ortega, Marcos Padron Ortega, as well as many extended family members. Funeral service will be held at Templo Ebenezer, 705 Loma Vista in Midland, Tuesday, December 1st at 1 p.m. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Rebecca Becky Pena. Rebecca Becky Pena, 64, of Midland, passed away Thursday, November 26th. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, December 2nd, at Ellis Funeral Home in Midland, with Pastor Johnny Padres officiating. Burial will follow at Greenwood Cemetery in Pecos. The family will receive visitors from 5 to 9 p.m. Tuesday, December 1st, at Ellis Funeral Home. Becky was born October 31st, 1956, in Pecos, to the late Eleborio and Sarah Pena. She was preceded in death by her parents and a brother, Armando Pena. Survivors include her siblings, Hope and husband Luis Tobar, Ercilia and husband Ben Rodriguez, Albesa and husband Abel Lozano, Alicia and husband Abe Gonzalez, Vera Henderson, Roy and wife Mary Pena, Mary Ellen Pena, Mary Lou Pena, and Mary Jane Pena, and a host of nieces and nephews and friends. Floral arrangements are requested to contain sunflowers. In lieu of flowers, in honor of Becky, memorials may be given in her name to the Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals in Midland. www.lonestarsanctuary.org/donate. Billy Ray Jackson. Billy Ray Jackson passed away November 24th at the age of 88 with his wife at his side. He was born February 4th, 1932, to Thelma and Leroy Jackson in Atlas, outside Paris, Texas. He married Judy Metz in 1961. Bill is survived by his wife of 59 years, Judy Metz Jackson, daughter and son-in-law Jennifer and Carlos Bolido of Dallas, daughter and son-in-law Stephanie and John Spillane of Dallas, sister and brother-in-law Donna and Bruce Schrake of Houston, sister Faye Woods of Burleson, three grandchildren and a niece and nephew. He was predeceased by his parents, Thelma and Leroy Jackson, sisters Tommy Joe Townsend of Garland, Dorothy Bankhead of Paris, and a brother, Hubert Jackson of Granbury. Due to COVID, a service and celebration of Bill's life will be planned at a later date. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to Hospice of Midland or to the charity of your choice in Bill's memory. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notice. Mary Rodriguez. Mary Rodriguez, 79, of Midland, passed away Friday, November 27th. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Arrangements under the care of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. She is survived by her husband, Pilar Rodriguez, a son, Alfredo Stephen Cervantes, 5 daughters, Kathy C. Salgado, Marlene Ann Martinez, Marie Dorothy Cervantes, Jane Elizabeth Cervantes, and Tricia Cervantes.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020, front page. Stop the spread. Wear a mask. Protect yourself and others against COVID-19. MCH details 9 deaths over holiday. County surpasses 9,000 COVID cases. By Royal McGregor, RMCGREGOR at OAOA.com. Medical Center Health System reported Monday morning that there were 9 COVID-19 related deaths over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. The press release issued by MCH detailed the first COVID-19 related death occurred Wednesday afternoon, while the 9th happened Sunday evening. The Ector County Health Department COVID-19 website on Monday afternoon showed that the total number of COVID-19 cases at more than 9,000. There are 9,006 total COVID-19 cases, which are confirmed and probable cases. As of November 25th, the total number of cases stood at 8,873. ECHD also showed on Monday afternoon there were 1,781 active cases, which totals positive cases minus recovered and deaths. The website also details there have been 151 deaths. Prior to Monday, the last time the website was updated was November 25th, when it showed 139 deaths. The number of hospitalizations for COVID-19 patients has also increased since the November 25th numbers were published. That Wednesday showed there were 118 hospitalizations, and that number increased to 125 as of Monday afternoon. As of Monday afternoon, MCH issued a press release that the hospital has 97 patients in-house, while there are 26 critical care patients, 15 of those in CCU overflow in WSMP, and 22 COVID-19 patients are on ventilator. COVID-19 patient list includes 6 from the Parks Odessa, 2 from Siena Odessa, 3 from Midland, 2 from Kermit, 1 from Andrews, 1 from Crane, 1 from Monahans, 1 from Presidio, and 1 from Yukon, Oklahoma. In other COVID-19 related news, Odessa American publisher Pay Canty will serve as the moderator for a coronavirus expert discussion panel beginning at 7 p.m. today, Tuesday. The event will be live streamed on the Star Hospice Facebook page. The expert medical panel includes Dr. Jarayam Naidu, Dr. Satish Nayak, Dr. Suresh Prasad, and Dr. Anand Reddy. MCH detailed the full list of the 9 COVID-19 related deaths. MCH also stated all of the patients had pre-existing conditions and all families have been notified. The first patient was an 81-year-old man from Ector County who died on Wednesday afternoon. He was admitted on November 6th. The second patient was a 69-year-old man from the Parks Senior Living in Odessa who died on Thursday morning. He was admitted on November 25th. The third patient was a 58-year-old woman from Ector County who died on Thursday. She was admitted on November 10th. The fourth patient was a 44-year-old man from Ector County who died on Thursday. He was admitted on November 10th. The fifth patient was a 64-year-old man from Ector County who died on Thursday night. He was admitted on November 2nd. The sixth patient was a 94-year-old man from Fort Stockton who died on Friday evening. He was admitted on November 11th. The seventh patient was a 64-year-old man from Seminole who died on Friday night. He was admitted on November 10th. The eighth patient was a 74-year-old woman from Ector County who died on Sunday. She was admitted on November 21st. The ninth patient was an 82-year-old man from Ector County who died on Sunday evening. She was admitted on November 19th. Council will meet on COVID today by Federico Martinez, F-M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z, at OAOA.com. Odessa City Council today will decide whether to extend an ordinance limiting business occupancy to 50% for another week because COVID-19 cases continue to escalate countywide. But Mayor David Turner said the ordinance may need to remain in effect for at least 3 weeks in order to effectively reduce rates. Turner signed the ordinance last week, despite reservations by a few council members. Despite those reservations, Turner said he is confident that council will support the extension. "I think council understands that right now we're in a crisis," Turner said during a recent meeting with local health officials and media. "It's serious." Turner signed the ordinance after being notified November 13th by the Texas Department of Health that coronavirus patients have been taking up more than 15% of hospital beds in Ector County for 7 straight days, an alarming rate that means the virus is spreading unchecked and placing a major strain on already overburdened health facilities. Ector County's rate last Tuesday was holding steady at 23.95%, Turner said. Updated rates for the past 7 days were not yet available, officials said Monday. The ordinance Turner signed also included a mask mandate, which requires employees and customers in businesses to wear face coverings. Businesses are required to post signs at entrances clearly stating the mask requirement. Businesses that don't comply will first receive a written warning and face a fine up to $250 for every subsequent violation. The Medical Center Health System on Monday reported 9 more people in Ector County died of COVID-19-related deaths during the Thanksgiving weekend. Nationally, the number of hospitalizations from the coronavirus set another record on Saturday, according to national media reports. More than 91,500 people were hospitalized with the virus on Saturday, with 18,000 placed in intensive care units, according to the COVID Tracking Project, which collects data from across the United States. Ector County's COVID-19 tracking website has not been updated since November 25th. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 9,006. Ector County negative, 32,153 out of 41,846 tested, with 687 pending. 151 deaths. Recovered, 7,074. Active, 1,781. Texas, 1,168,111 confirmed, with 10,761,759 tested. Total Texas deaths, 21,379. U.S. cases, 13,295,605 total confirmed and 266,051 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Empty stocking is empty. With only 17 days to go in the 26th year of the Empty Stocking Fund, our goal of $100,000, and it won't be met without your help. Funds stay in Ector County and help needy families. The Empty Stocking Fund is an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army. Funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2 million. Donate online at tinyurl.com/VH5FJDZ. On the net, tinyurl.com/VH5FJDZ. From Staff Reports. John's Corner Nursery. Joel Marquez left and Ray Gonzalez cut the bottom of a noble fir so that it will soak up water and branch out on display Monday morning at John's Corner Nursery. John's Corner established a nursery on the corner of Dixie and 42nd in 2008 and began selling Christmas trees in 2011. John's Corner offers Scots pines, Nordman firs, Fraser firs, and noble firs from Oregon. Joel Marquez left and Ray Gonzalez untie a noble fir so that it will branch out on display Monday morning at John's Corner Nursery. Ray Gonzalez cuts open a Fraser fir so that it will branch out for display Monday morning at John's Corner Nursery. 305 days. For 305 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through September 30th, the city has spent $62,843.51 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. Monahans Chamber Chief wins Broadband Hero Honor by Ruth Campbell, RCAMPBELL at OAOA.com. While broadband has become a buzzword during the pandemic, Monahans Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Teresa Burnett has always known its importance. For the past several years, Burnett has worked to bring reliable broadband to her area. Recently, she was recognized for her efforts with the Texas Broadband Hero Award. Burnett said she had no idea there was an award for what has been part of her job. "I got a trophy. They sent me a trophy." Senator Charles Perry, R. Lubbock, had a flag flown over the Capitol for me and had it flown that day that I was awarded the award. "He will bring that flag to me and present that flag to me," she said. Burnett said the chamber has been working on broadband for 4 years with a company called Connection Nation and the Stillwater Foundation. "We put together a group of all the entities of our community. We sent out a survey, combined all the information, then came up with the plan. We've been working on it ever since," Burnett said. The chamber found out November 16th that they were awarded $1.5 million broadband grant from the federal government through the CARES Act. "Right now, we will not be able to cover anything outside of Ward County. We're starting this in a certain area of Monahans, expanding out, and just keep growing from that. We'll use this $1.5 million to cover as much area around Monahans as we can," Burnett said. As more funding comes in, they will continue to grow the area served. "Internet access in Monahans is horrible," Burnett said. "People were paying really high prices. They weren't getting the speed that they were paying for. Most of the time, we are without internet because the lines have been cut. It's so slow right now, with the way things are now, with kids learning virtually, with people having to work from home. Some families have like 3 or 4 kids that are on iPads trying to do their homework, plus a parent working from home, and they can't do it because there isn't enough internet access for them to be able to do that at home," Burnett said. The chamber office is located at the Ward County Events Center, and there is fiber optic cable there. "It's not uncommon to see several families up here with their kids, sitting up underneath the porch in the parking lot, just sitting there trying to do their homework and get it done because they're feeding off of our fiber internet that we have, Burnett said. She walked outside one day, and there was a whole family under the porch because it's so hot. I know they were up here for a good 5 hours just trying to do all of their homework and their work because their internet at home had gone out on them. Lines had been cut. There were deadlines, and it was just one day. There were like 4 families up here just sitting up underneath the porch trying to get their work done, Burnett said. The lack of reliable internet also has made it more difficult to retain businesses, and improved speed will help healthcare providers as well. With the increase of all of the oil field traffic and everything, and all the accidents, we've had what's been crucial is that our first responders, they need this broadband, Burnett said. They need that because it saves lives. The chamber applied for the federal grant, but had to come up with 20% matching, or $600,000. The Permian Basin Area Foundation was a huge help. They contributed. The Stillwater Foundation, the King Foundation, Chevron contributed, and Ward County contributed into the down payment, the 20% that we needed, she added. In the past 4 years, Burnett said, Monahans has nearly doubled in population, going from about 6,000 to 800 people to about 11,000. The decline in the economy has caused a drop in some population, but they still have the RV parks, new motels and RV parks that have been built. You know how the oil field is. It's up and down, so when it comes back again, then all of these places are going to be full again, Burnett said. If the broadband situation isn't solved, they will be back in the same situation again. She added that the community has lost some Fortune 500 companies because the community didn't have adequate internet to support their systems. We're still looking for anybody that wants to invest in this project, Burnett said. We're never going to turn money down. You know how that goes. So we're always looking for partners in this project and would love the opportunity to visit with anybody that's interested in our project and wanting to be a partner and be a part of it. Connected National Texas has virtually presented the Broadband Hero Award to Burnett. A news release said the award is reserved for someone who demonstrates the passion, commitment, and determination to close the digital divide in their community in such a way that it influences and impacts surrounding communities and region. Chris Peterson, Executive Vice President of Connected Nation, said in a news release. We recognize Teresa Burnett with this award for standing out in these areas and are inspired by her unwavering broadband leadership, Peterson said. On the net, connectednation.org/Texas/. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020, obituaries. Linda Maria Rodriguez Cisneros, Odessa. Linda Cisneros, age 71, of Odessa, Texas, received a call from our Lord God on November 23rd, 2020. It was an offer she could not refuse because the reward is heaven and the bonus is being reunited with her husband, Joe Cisneros. Linda was born September 22nd, 1949, in Castroville, Texas, to Enrique and Maria Rodriguez. She was the oldest of 7 children. While attending Andrews High School, she met the love of her life and married July 9, 1967. They decided to move to Monahans, Texas, and live there for 30 years, and then she lived out her remaining life in Odessa, Texas. Linda is preceded in death by her mother, Maria Rodriguez, and sister, Delia Landeros. She is survived by her children, Michelle Cisneros and Michael Cisneros, also with his wife, Lisa Cisneros, and her grandchildren, Elizabeth and Eric Cisneros, her father, Enrique Rodriguez, brothers Frank Rodriguez and Steve Rodriguez, sisters Beatrice and her husband Joe Alvarado, Shirley and her husband Carlos Aguilar, Alice and her husband Joe Falcone, as well as many nephews, nieces, cousins, and many great friends. Recitation of the Rosary will take place at 2 p.m., Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. This vigil will be recorded and found at www.sunsetodessa.com/obituary/Linda-Cisneros. After the service has ended, the Mass of Resurrection and the celebration of the Eucharist will take place at 2 p.m. Thursday, December 3rd, 2020, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Midland, Texas. Due to the coronavirus, this will be a private service. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Guadalupe Olivas Hernandez, Odessa. Guadalupe Olivas Hernandez, 87, of Odessa, passed away on Wednesday, November 18, 2020, at Medical Center Hospital. She was born in San Antonio del Bravo, Chihuahua, Mexico, on Wednesday, November 30, 1932, to Francisco and Gregoria Valles. Lupe married Pablo Hernandez on May 13, 1952. They remained united in marriage nearly 62 years before separated by his passing in 2014. The majority of their lives, they resided in San Antonio del Bravo before relocating closer to their children in 1997. Lupe was a homemaker who enjoyed sewing, stitching, listening to music, and was a member of Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. She will dearly be missed, and her family will be awaiting the day to reunite with her, her beloved husband Pablo, and our Lord in heaven. Those left to cherish her love and memory are her son, Angel Hernandez, and wife Delma, daughters Elia Acosta, Lupita Mendez and husband Jorge, Manuela Tercero and husband Hervé, and 16 grandchildren, 39 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. Lupe is preceded in death by her parents, Francisco and Gregoria Olivas, husband Pablo Hernandez, sons Raul and Alejandro Hernandez, grandson David Melendez, and 3 angelic infants. Rosary will be 7 p.m. Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Mass of Christian Burial will be 10 a.m. Thursday, December 3rd, 2020, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Peaceful Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Kenneth Royce Scott, Bront. Kenneth Royce Scott of Bront, Texas, passed away on November 25, 2020, at the age of 82. He coached high school football, was a successful entrepreneur, and a story for every occasion. Born on December 2, 1937, in Bront, Texas, to the late James Walter and Faye Irene Mitchell Scott, he graduated from Bront High School in 1955, attended San Angelo College and Sol Ross State University, graduating in 1960 with a Bachelor of Science and later a Master's degree. In 1958, he married Loretta Shaw, and together they had 2 children, Mickey and Becky. They later divorced, and Ken married Linda Carol Parsons Hinesley in 1983. Ken is survived by his beloved wife Linda, son Mickey Scott and wife Kay, daughter Becky and husband Wendell Byram, stepsons Brad and Barrett Hinesley, stepdaughter Allison and husband Brian Creech, 8 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. Ken was preceded in death by his parents, his brothers James, Jolie, Danny, and sister Dorothy Pruitt. Visitation will be held from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at Schaefer Funeral Home, located at 509 South State Street in Bront, Texas. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. at Fairview Cemetery on Franklin Street in Bront, Texas. Services are under the direction of Schaefer Funeral Home, Bront. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in Ken's name to the March of Dimes, who helped to fund the vaccine to eliminate polio, the American Cancer Society. To see Ken's full obituary, please visit www.schaeferpioneer.com. That's www.schaeferpioneer.com. Death notices. Nieves Garcia Ramirez, Odessa. Nieves Garcia Ramirez, 70, of Odessa, died Friday, November 27th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m., December 4th, 2020, at Iglesia Bautista, Jerusalem. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Edward Rodriguez is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. James Lee Trulock, Dallas. James Lee Trulock, 64, of Odessa, Texas, died Friday, November 27th, 2020, in Dallas, Texas. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., December 4th, 2020, at Greenfield Acres Baptist. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Jimmy Skiles is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Education section. Midland College Profiles by Travis Woodward. Accounting assistant wants to serve others. The drive and purpose for many people who go to school are to make it big, Emma Avampato said. My desire is to love people, help them, and serve them. Avampato has lived in Midland for most of her life. Her family, including two older brothers and a younger sister, moved here from Oklahoma when she was three. She first heard about Midland College through her brothers, James and Micaiah. James got an associate degree from MC before going to the University of Texas Permian Basin. Micaiah earned a welding certificate. Avampato's sister, Eleni, is in the MC engineering program and will transfer to Texas Tech following graduation. Avampato's path to MC began at home. Her mother homeschooled all four of the children through middle school. Avampato then attended Midland Classical Academy and graduated in 2016. Homeschooling and then Midland Classical taught me how to study, a habit that transferred into college. I was given a strong foundation, which has helped throughout my career. Following graduation, she took a gap year and moved to Oman, where she homeschooled three children. This was one of the hardest experiences I've ever endured, Avampato said. However, the blessings and the benefits that came from it were more than I could have expected. For Avampato, Midland College had just what she was looking for, and when it was time to transition to college, coming from a high school, personal interaction with professors was important. Financial aid was essential, too. My dad told us when we were young that he would not pay for college, Avampato said. My siblings and I heard this before we knew what it meant. It was big, knowing from the very beginning that I would have to self-finance school. She received a scholarship to pay for her education. The Bill Pace Cogno Scholarship helped pay for the majority of my school. It was a blessing. Self-sufficiency was an invaluable lesson for me. Midland College is right here. It's affordable, and the college offers great scholarships. The professors at Midland College have also been very helpful. She credits her accounting professor, Dale Westfall, with helping her decide to major in accounting. Westfall remembers her well from her time at Midland College. Emma's aptitude for accounting, coupled with an attitude for success, made her a self-disciplined, critical thinker who was conscientious about her assignments and a pleasure to have in class. Alvarado knew that nothing was going to keep her from finishing her degree. She graduated from Midland College in 2019 with an Associate of Arts degree. She is working part-time for a Midland-based oil company, Encore Permian, as an accounting assistant while pursuing a Bachelor of Business Administration in Accountancy at UTPB. She's getting married later this month. She and her fiancé went to high school together, and they reconnected at UTPB. She hopes to start a family. I am pursuing my degree, and the drive I have behind my studies is making the Lord known in my actions, Avampato added. I would not be able to do all this by myself. He has sustained me through every part of my life. I would hope that I am in a place where I can be of help to others, to be a servant to other people. What advice would she give to students? Don't spend too much time studying. Find a balance between studies and everything else. Life does go on outside the school. Be diligent in the studies, but don't let it take over. Student debt does not belong in the stimulus package. A commentary by the economist M. Ray Perryman. Student debt has been a growing problem for years and needs to be thoughtfully addressed. Recently, there have been calls for some type of uniform debt relief as part of a stimulus package. That is not the best solution. Many graduates, or worse, people who did not complete a higher education program, have been saddled with crippling burdens. It's a bad situation, hampering the ability of those with large loans to get on with their financial lives. Whether buying necessities or big-ticket items such as houses, excessive balances and high monthly payments can cause budgetary stress. On the other hand, it may also be viewed as an investment in personal human capital for future rewards, not unlike borrowing to open a business. There are legitimate points of disagreement. Abuses occurred in the student loan system, and some individuals did not have full and accurate information when making decisions. There are also students and families who worked very hard and made tough choices to save for college that would receive no benefit. Similarly, others who fully paid off loans would not be accommodated on an equitable basis. Making education more affordable and accessible is critical to our future, but simple across-the-board debt forgiveness is not the best policy. Something of this magnitude deserves careful consideration to achieve optimal results. It should promote upward mobility and a more lucrative, more productive future workforce. Whatever your thoughts on the student loan issue, the much-needed stimulus package is not the place for it. The purpose of a stimulus package is to stimulate now. For example, if $10,000 in loan forgiveness is implemented, one of the proposals, there will not be an immediate corresponding boost to the economy. Instead, the benefit would be limited to the amount of monthly payments. Moreover, because those with student loans, on average, are better educated, have higher incomes, and are more able to work remotely than the norm, they would more frequently save any modest supplemental gains. In contrast, a grant to a family or business in desperate straits would be rapidly spent, circulate through the economy, and help to keep the basic structure together. There are currently millions of households facing eviction, foreclosure, and food insecurity, while thousands of small businesses have exhausted their resources as they struggle to survive. There are also major industries, such as airlines, which are barely hanging on, yet vital to our future recovery and quality of life, and state and local governments facing massive budget shortfalls as demand for services soars. Stimulus funds allocated in these directions would bring immediate and essential benefits. They would actually stimulate. Student debt needs substantial attention, but we need pandemic relief now. 8 MISD schools added to opportunity culture from staff reports. 8 Midland ISD schools will be joining opportunity culture for the 21-22 school year. Opportunity Culture restructures pre-K through 12 school staffing to extend the reach of excellent teachers, principals, and their teams to more students for more pay within recurring school budgets, according to a press release. The program has two major goals: to reach all students with excellent teachers more consistently, and to reach all educators without outstanding career opportunities. Bonham, Greathouse, Fasken, Long, and Santa Rita Elementaries, Pease Communication and Technology Academy, Lee Freshman, and Midland High will collaborate with Public Impact and the Office of Human Capital Management this spring to undergo the school design process to achieve these goals. Current Opportunity Culture campuses are DeSavala, Emerson, Rusk, Scarborough South, and Yarborough, Midland Freshman, and Lee High. Multi-classroom leadership is the cornerstone of Opportunity Culture. Teachers with a record of high-growth student learning and leadership competencies qualify for MCL. They teach part of the time while leading teams of educators from the same grade or subject matter, according to the release. Midland High and Lee High offer a number of ag programs. In total, more than 400 students are taking ag courses this year at each campus. Perhaps the best-known offerings are in ag science, where students learn about livestock production, the principles of agricultural production, and veterinary medicine. Ag science education is more than plows, cows, and sows, said Danielle Taylor, Lee Ag science teacher and FFA advisor. These courses really open students' eyes to just how important agriculture is and how it affects so many parts of our way of life. Christy Matthews, Midland High Ag science teacher and FFA advisor, would agree. The food and textiles on the table and even the wooden table itself are ag-related. Ag Mechanics introduces students to welding with a focus on how this highly sought-after skill is useful in farm and ranch setting, and it can lead to the welding technician pathway. Perhaps the most popular offering under the ag umbrella, of course, is floral design, according to the release. More than 100 students are enrolled in these courses at each high school. Floral design is great for students who have a natural eye for artistry. All students are encouraged to participate in the National FFA organization. FFA offers students the opportunity to hone many skills through a variety of competitions. In addition to animal showing, there are also business and communications competitions, such as job interviewing and creating ag-focused public service announcements. Midland High FFA students recently took first and second place in a senior quiz competition and finished first in the Green Hand quiz. Lee students competed locally in the Tall City Showdown, a showing competition sponsored by the Midland Lee FFA Booster Club. All competitions aim to not only test students' ag knowledge, but to develop their leadership skills. The leadership skills a student learns participating in FFA will help them achieve their career goals, said Taylor, who was the president of her FFA chapter in high school. When prospective employers see a candidate has FFA credentials, they know that the student has a great work ethic. FFA is great for networking and commands high respect.
N95 masks, hospital use only. Dear Dr. Roach, with all the misinformation flying around, can you comment on whether it's a good idea to wear N95 masks if you have them on hand? FC. Answer. N95 masks are the standard for personal protective equipment for most healthcare providers in the hospital. Ideally, healthcare workers would have enough N95 masks to use them with every patient suspected of having COVID-19, but unfortunately, there remain shortages in many areas of the country. Many hospital workers still reuse the masks or reserve them for the highest risk situations, such as a procedure on a person known to have COVID-19 lung disease. Because of the nationwide shortage, it is difficult to get the certified N95 masks. Many hospitals have obtained KN95 masks, but recent studies have shown that up to 70% of KN95 masks are inadequate. This makes it particularly important that N95 masks are reserved for when they are really necessary. If you have any unopened N95 masks, your local hospital will be delighted to give them to frontline workers. You may help save lives. However, if you have an already used N95 mask, you may certainly continue to use it as long as it provides a tight fit. A well-made cotton mask, whether store-bought or homemade, provides good protection in combination with adequate physical distancing. Masks have made a big difference on slowing the growth of the COVID-19 pandemic in the world. Two or more layers provide protection as good as you can get without a certified N95 mask. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, COVID causes rift between nurse's boyfriend and his sister. Dear Abby, I am a nurse in New York City. My boyfriend lives in Philadelphia. During the height of the pandemic, we didn't see each other because I worked on a COVID unit and contracted the virus. His sister became very controlling and kept urging him not to see me, which brought me great pain. I was extremely lonely, and for months, the only people I saw were my coworkers. At the end of May, my boyfriend and I began seeing each other regularly. Because he sees me, his sister refuses to see him, which makes me very sad. His mother died 2 years ago. When his family tries to plan things, his sister either comes late or doesn't show up. If I'm invited, she said she doesn't want to be in the same room as me. I spend a lot of time with my boyfriend and his older father, who he now lives with. His father has never expressed that he feels uncomfortable around me. I feel like we have to plan things around this sister. I want my boyfriend to spend time with his family, but she's extremely controlling when everyone else in the family seems excited to see me. What do I do? Uncomfortable situation. Dear Uncomfortable, I'm assuming that if you are working again, that you are tested regularly for COVID and therefore in no danger of giving the virus to anyone. Because there has been so much misinformation spread during the pandemic, many people are being extremely cautious, and rightfully so. If you had a good relationship with your boyfriend's sister before the pandemic began, recognize that she acts the way she does because she's afraid for her life. So stop personalizing it and judging her for it. She has a right to protect herself, even if it seems irrational to you. Dear Abby, as a grandparent, I feel the Christmas gift my husband and I received last year from our granddaughter was a gift of a lifetime. We have enjoyed it all year. It was a gift of memories written on 12 cards to be opened on the first day of each month. She had inserted each card into an individual envelope, designated with which month it was to be opened. She put them in a box wrapped with a bow and placed it under the tree. The excitement generated while anxiously awaiting a new month's arrival so the new memory could be read created enthusiasm among the entire family. In each envelope were experiences we had forgotten or never realized had made an impact on her life. A gift like this requires only time and 12 pieces of paper. The concept could even be reversed so that it would be from grandparents to grandchild. Few of us grandparents need material gifts, but the caring, thought, and love shown by this gift will remain with us all our lives. Wanted to Share, Fresno, California. Dear Wanted to Share, what a precious gift. I have long advocated that the most meaningful gift we can give each other is the gift of self in the form of time, attention, a handwritten letter, or a phone call. Your granddaughter's concept of a Memory of the Month Club was ingenious. I congratulate her for it, and I hope it inspires others.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Sagittarius and a moon in Gemini until 9:33 p.m. when the moon enters Cancer. Happy birthday for Tuesday, December 1, 2020. Outspoken, generous, and free-spirited, with a wicked sense of humor, you succeed this year by being more diplomatic and careful. A new person joins your energetic team, and you're off to the races. If single, you're generally flirtatious and attract many, but decide to go it alone this year. If attached, you're giving of everything, but not always your time. Take time out and be happy. Scorpio suffers in silence. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. A chance to correct ongoing problems will present itself. Gather information and sharpen your skills. A long-anticipated purchase provides great enjoyment. You will be motivated and can accomplish much, but don't push too hard or overreact. Tonight, control your impatience. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Today can bring some temporary frustration with how associates perform job duties and handle their assets. Seek to release any hidden anger about the financial decisions of another. The sense of well-being that enough cash flow assures is appreciated now. Tonight, relax. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Alert, versatile, and restless. Life for you is always active on a variety of levels at the same time. Much is learned and accomplished through the medium of conversation today. Be patient, for success comes. Tonight, artistic endeavors of all kinds will flourish. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 4 stars. Replenish your vitality by taking time to rest and regroup. There is much brewing within you that companions can't quite perceive. You'll recognize the wisdom of keeping your own counsel. Become focused on a project. You can complete it with aplomb. Tonight, an herbal soak. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Today brings a charming and attractive acquaintance into your social circle. Maintain an unusual for you touch of reserve to make the best impression on this one. Your values as well as philosophy concerning money are transforming. Tonight, some impressive online networking. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Your vitality will be good, and the highest ideals will motivate you. Career ambitions develop. You'll want to contribute and achieve. Avoid involvement in job politics, though. There are some delicate situations existing among professional associates. Tonight, remain alert and all will be well. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 3 stars. Keep a positive mindset. Negative programming, especially about economic issues, can seem discouraging. Cope by seeking to understand the force of fate and destiny. Make the best of what is dealt to you. Research that which puzzles you. Tonight, what you wish. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 2 stars. You will be rewarded today with a message about times to come. If it's difficult to release old anger, a study of your past lives can restore your perspective. Keep control of your own finances. Another could be reckless with resources. Tonight, early bedtime. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 3 stars. Listen to and learn from others today. Suggestions that you resist at first can prove valuable in the end. A close companion has multiple projects in progress. A discussion will dispel confusion. Tonight, don't worry. You'll have an opportunity to influence the course of action. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 3 stars. Today accents your health needs. Be sensitive to changes within your body, and all will be well. Address any questionable health habits, and your vitality will improve. Learn the art of healing yoga breathing to further promote wellness and longevity. Tonight, start a health journal. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. Develop your creative potential. Purchase an attractive journal and matching pen to record your ideas. They're likely to be too good to let them fall by the wayside. A new form of creative expression becomes very important. Tonight, romantic interludes are a source of genuine delight. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today brings an appreciation of your personal heritage. Relationships will be more steady and satisfying. Practical study, conversations, and short outings are all catalysts for progress. People and places in your immediate surroundings assume a deeper significance. Tonight, a family discussion. Born today, comedian Richard Pryor, 1940, singer Bette Midler, 1945, comedian Sarah Silverman, 1970.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.